Hey guys, welcome to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. The Fit Dad Lifestyle is a community and supplement brand where fathers support other fathers throughout the journey of fatherhood. We believe that maintaining a healthy lifestyle isn't about crash diets and the latest workout craze. Instead, we offer dads the education, resources, and support they need to maintain a balanced lifestyle long term. There aren't a lot of dedicated community groups for dads, and we know that men are generally less likely to talk about the challenges they face in life. So we wanted to go above and beyond the meal plans and quick fixes and offer a way for fathers to communicate in a helpful, negative-free environment. Whether it's supporting your partner when a new baby arrives, balancing work and the kids, or just fitting in time to get your health and fitness back on track. This podcast aims to inspire, motivate, and encourage you to be the best father you can be and the leader that your kids want to see you be every day. It's brought to you by Fit Dad Fuel. Fit Dad Fuel is our supplement range. Our supplement range helps support this podcast, the workouts, the online education, and the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes to help keep everything as cost-free as possible for dads worldwide. Enjoy the episode. Here it is, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 143 of the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. So today we've got Fit Dad community member and founder of Raising Phoenix, which is a men's mental health service, Nick Galvin. So Nick, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Mate, can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and whereabouts you are in the world?
Yeah, sure. So I'm 34. I live in God's country of Bathurst, New South Wales, home to obviously Mount Panorama. And basically, my story is pretty similar to most people, I guess. Mental health has been sort of at the forefront of most things. I've battled it for probably 10, 15 years at least. And obviously, you know, as everyone sort of is aware, there's times that are harder than others. I work at a car dealership as a job. I'm a service manager. So that obviously presents its challenges as well. But yeah, you know, otherwise I've got a beautiful family, my fiance and her two kids, who are 7 and 4, which are just, you know, the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I always wanted to be a father, but I never really saw myself being a father. But I mean, as you would know, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners would know, kids just, they change your world. And I mean, for the better. So.
Mate, I love it. Mate, it's definitely tough times for you guys down there in New South Wales at the moment with everything that's going on in the world. How are you guys coping as a family unit and you know, being able to, you know, navigate, I guess, all these restrictions and lockdowns and everything going on?
Yeah, I guess overall, like Bathurst probably had it, or even like this region, not necessarily Bathurst, had it fairly easy for the most part. We sort of avoided, I guess, a good chunk of the restrictions until this major one came in. I mean, look, there's no point sugarcoating it. It's hard on everyone. And it's the simple things like not being able to go see a mate, or, you know, not being able to visit a gym, or, you know, just stuff like that. It's been challenging for sure. But in saying that as well, we are quite lucky. We've both kept our jobs and we're able to go to work every day. So, I mean, compared to some people, you know, we consider ourselves lucky on that front. Homeschooling has been a battle. I never consider the teacher as a career path, and I'm definitely not about to do that. It's hard work, but again, being able to spend, you know, quality time with the kids and spend some more valuable time sort of helping them learn and teaching them is, you know, it's awesome. It's something obviously you don't get to do a lot of the time. But yeah, no, it's, look, overall it's been pretty good.
Yeah, mate, it's been very, very similar to us as well up here in Queensland. We've avoided, you know, 95% of everything. And yeah, it's tough when you hear of people in those southern states going through it, and you like, you know, you even think about it, like you got family and friends, and, you know, I haven't seen my brother in 2 years, and he's based in the city down in Melbourne, and
You know, you sort of, it makes you think about, oh, should I put that video up, or should I send him that message, or should I ring him up and, you know, when I'm on the way down to the beach or surf club, because you just feel so bad for everyone. But then you're like, well, actually, I can't stop living my life. And, you know, unfortunately,
exactly,
you know, I can't control where I am. And, you know, next week I might not be able to do the things that I am able to do today. So it's, you know, it's that fine line between, you know, not being cocky about where you are, but also not, you know, holding back on doing stuff because of your fear of what other people might think or say.
Yeah. And I guess it's just sort of accepting things for what they are. And obviously at the moment, like, things are changing so quickly. Like, obviously at the moment they're looking to lift, I guess, one level of lockdown on the 11th of October, I think it is. I mean, in the between now and then, that could all turn on its head, and we can just be back where we started. So it's, I guess it's about accepting the little things, taking the little wins, and just, you know, doing what you can.
Yeah, right, definitely. Mate, let's get off the favorite subject at the moment and get back to the whole fatherhood stuff, which the audience loves. Mate, obviously, you know, being a father and, you know, keeping fit and healthy, how has that changed now after, you know, meeting your fiance and, you know, being introduced to the two kids, and, you know, how has that compared to what it was for you prior to, you know, having kids?
Look, I guess, and it was probably a little bit selfish of me, but it didn't really change. Like, so I generally work out after work, just because for me, that's when I prefer to work out.
Yep.
So it was always, I'd finish work, go to the gym, come home. And normally by that time, the kids are sort of like, they've had dinner, they've had a bath, and they're pretty much getting ready for bed. So it didn't really change it a great deal. But obviously there would be times that I go, I better go home because, you know, the kids are being shit or whatever. And that's just what you do. You know, you don't just let them run around and be terrors and cause your partner a whole bunch of stress. So, but yeah, really it didn't really change at all. It's only sort of recently that, obviously with lockdown, I was late to the party in sort of organizing my own home gym and my own setup. So it's probably been more challenging this time around with lockdown and working out from home, because they're right there. You know, if they want something or if they need something, they're not scared in coming out and interrupting you mid-set to get a glass of water or to ask if they can have a pack of chips or something. So that's probably been more challenging than anything else, to be quite honest.
Yeah, mate, definitely. It's mate, a lot of those people, you know, including yourself, who are late to the home gym setup, really got caught out because, you know, you had this routine or you had this lifestyle that you're accustomed to, and then, you know, you go to try and find a bit of equipment, you know, or first of all find the motivation to even do something on your own, and, you know,
yeah,
in your own home, and what do I do and where do I look for a program and how am I gonna, you know, force myself to do it for 15, you know, 20, half an hour, whatever the case is. And then, you know, to find out there's no equipment, it really turned a lot of fathers and a lot of, you know, people in general, you know, upside down, because all their, you know, everything they were used to and everything they were accustomed to was sort of just taken away from them, you know, instantaneously. Yeah. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people come out the other side after, you know, losing, you know, track of, you know, who they were and what they, you know, did around their own health and fitness, and now have finally grasped that home gym setup and that home gym sort of lifestyle, and probably won't go back to the gym once things open up, because they've now figured out, oh, actually this is so much more enjoyable at home. I can train on my own terms. I can be involved with the kids. And even if they do come interrupt me for, you know, water, food, drink, you know, or want to join in, it actually makes things a lot more enjoyable. And it actually, you know, shows them that, hey, dad's out in the shed or dad's out in the backyard, you know, crushing it right now. I'm going to go join in. And, you know, it brings something back to the household that was for the vast majority was taken away for such a long time. And it's exposed our kids to you know, what actually dad does to look after himself and how he goes about things, and, you know, adds that learning element of, you know, teaching kids about health and fitness that they might previously not have been exposed to.
Exactly. And I mean, like our little boy, like he's only four, so he's not at school yet, and he's obviously, he hasn't been exposed to, you know, sport or fitness or that sort of thing. But seeing me work out, now he's all about building muscles. And, you know, there might be a day like I might be having a rest day, or I just might not feel like working out. Half the time he tries to drag me out there because he wants to build big muscles. And that, there's been times where I've just been like, you know what, maybe the home gym was a mistake. You know, I'm not feeling it. Let's just get rid of it. And then I look at him and how excited he is to just lift a plate or try and lift a dumbbell or whatever. And it's sort of that realization that, okay, I can't quit because the little eyes are watching me. And if I quit, what message does that send to them? Yeah. So it's all about sort of being the example for them that, okay, well, yes, there's going to be days that you will feel like shit and you won't want to do it. But the more times you get up after being knocked down, the stronger you will be. And even if it's just to show him how much I can lift, you know, I'll take that as a win as well.
Yeah, 100%. You get that sort of, that little bit of a high from, you know, when your kids are like, wow, look what dad's doing. It's, you know, and it's something that you sort of, yeah, you're not looking for out in the public, but it sort of definitely brings a smile to your face.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, a lot of dads struggle with their eating and, you know, constantly falling back into bad habits with their nutrition and sort of on that yo-yo wheel of, you know, going good for a few weeks, bad for a few weeks, and never really finding that balance. What is your approach to nutrition, and, you know, what would be your number one tip that you could pass on to any dads out there listening?
I'm in the same boat. I've always been up and down with my nutrition. It's always been, you know, I'll be 100% on it for 2 to 3 weeks, and then something will happen. Maybe not even something will happen, and I'll just drop the ball, and then that's me for a month, 2 months. The biggest thing I found that worked for me was more like a macro-friendly diet, so just tracking protein, carbs, and fats.
Yep.
And not being on the, I guess, the bro diet, so like chicken and broccoli, and that's all you eat, and eating, I guess, really clean. Because I find if I do that, and I'm sure a lot of people have been in the same boat, you get obsessed over what you can't eat. So it might be, you know, chicken, broccoli, and rice, 3 meals a day, you know, a protein shake for breakfast or whatever. And you might go out for dinner, and you're constantly obsessing over what's going to be best for me rather than enjoying yourself. And you work out slowly that you can still enjoy yourself and not go overboard. So I think that the hardest thing is just being kind to yourself. And if you have a bad day, we all have it, you know, move on to the next day, reset, and then just go again. Nutrition is the hardest part about getting healthy. The gym's the easy bit.
Yeah, mate, definitely. And I think the macro, you know, and using something like, you know, MyFitnessPal, which is a free tool or free app out there for everyone listening, it is very easy to, you know, track your protein, carbs, and fat, and actually allow yourself to have a bit more balanced approach to it while still maintaining, you know, yourself under those calories or, you know, hitting that, you know, macro targets for the day. And I think that it's one thing that a lot of people are starting to, you know, cotton onto that, hey, I don't need to, you know, kill myself for the next 8 weeks eating clean and, you know, 1,000 calories under what I'm meant to be eating. I can actually live this balanced approach, eat well, you know, 80-90% of the time, and still hit my goals and still stay on track to where I want to be. And where I don't want to be is I'm not doing a bodybuilding show in 8 weeks time, 12 weeks time, 20 weeks time. So, you know, trying to live a life of a bodybuilder is not necessarily the best for me. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I'm really loving seeing out in the community and hearing about as well, that people are conscious enough to, you know what they need to do, but not silly enough to, you know, follow those crazy fads and fall into bad habits all the time.
Exactly. And it's all education. Like, as you mentioned, MyFitnessPal is probably my savior. But the more you use it and the more you track food, the more you understand that whatever you previously saw as a bad choice or an unhealthy option isn't that bad, and you can make it work. So like, you might look at a packet of chips, which previously we've just been like, oh, well, yeah, that's too fatty or it's unhealthy or whatever. But if you've got fat calories left and you've got some carbs left over, you can make it work and make, I guess, your goals more attainable, whereas you're not going hard for 3 weeks and then falling off the wagon and, you know, undoing it with 3 months worth of bad eating and all that sort of thing. So it all comes down to education as well.
Yeah, definitely. Mate, with mental health such a huge topic out there at the moment, and, you know, a very big influence in today's society, and especially with fathers, what are some of the things that you put into place to ensure that you're not only keeping your body active, but you're also keeping the mind in check as well?
The biggest thing recently, so I was on medication for probably 8 years or so, and recently I've come off that, which at the time probably wasn't advised. Like, I didn't see a GP. I didn't really talk to anyone about it. I just sort of did it, which for me, luckily, it kind of paid off. Like, I didn't get the withdrawals. I didn't get the side effects from coming off it so quickly. So for me, I was probably very lucky. But after that, everything just sort of became a bit clearer, and I was able to see situations for what they were rather than sort of beating myself up and falling into a hole. So recently, one of my sort of key focuses has been, you know, if something happens and I fall into a slump, or, you know, if my mood changes or whatever it is, I simply try and take a step back, take a breath, whether it's I need to, you know, go out and go for a walk for a couple of minutes and just sort of remove myself from the situation. But just being mindful of that allows me to potentially change a situation that would normally last sort of all day, and sort of nip it in the bud. I might be in a funk for, you know, 5-10 minutes, but then I address it. I look at the situation and see sort of what happened, why it happened, what could I do to change it, was it avoidable? And once I take all that information in, I sort of reset and then move forward, which again, I guess has been a massive thing, but I was only really able to probably do that off my medication. Beforehand, it was just, you know, you'd be in a slump and that would be the end of your day. And that could be from like 8:30 in the morning. You know, so just being able to take a step back, looking at the big picture and go, okay, well, that happened because of this. This is where I'm at now. Was it avoidable? No. Okay, well, we need to move on now. And obviously working out is a massive, massive mood builder. You know, it just sort of takes, it's funny, the more and more weight you add in the gym, the more weight it takes off you from the day. So that's always a good thing to come home and unwind and just lift some weight and get all my stresses out for the day.
Yeah, mate, I think there's some great insight and some great answers there for the dads listening. It's, I definitely agree. It's the fitness is one of the things and why I do it every day as well, because it sort of just allows you to just have that, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes to yourself and, you know, switch off or listen to a podcast or, you know, even music, whatever, you know, is going on. And I do it personally about 4 or 5 in the morning. So that way I'm not getting distracted from phone calls, messages, you know, anything to do with work or the kids. And I can really zone out and just concentrate on myself. And, you know, I find it really sets you up for, you know, success, because, you know, obviously as a father and business owner or, you know, whatever you're doing with work, it's, you know how much you can get pulled in 10 different ways by the time 3 or 4 o'clock comes in the afternoon. So, you know, I think it's definitely one of those things that, you know, people underestimate the power of, you know, training first thing in the morning and training in general.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Mate, if you can go back to Nick on, you know, day one of fatherhood and let him know one thing you know to be true today, what would that be?
Be kinder to yourself. Like I know from a, I guess, a stepfather perspective, you're coming into people's life where they already have the parent figures set up. And obviously to me, it was quite new and not a shock to the system, but it was something that I obviously had to work into. But just be kind to yourself. Like kids, as wonderful as they can be sometimes, obviously there's times where, you know, they just make you want to pull your hair out and it's like they don't listen, or, you know, they make a mess or whatever it is. And you've just sort of, again, take a step back and go, okay, how do I handle this? You know, getting angry is the easy option. And it's something I struggle with a lot. You know, if the kids don't listen, or, you know, if you've told them four times to stop doing something and they're still doing it, it's very easy to, I guess, overreact and lash out in anger. And that's something I'm currently working on sort of looking at. But yeah, just be kind. No one has a book on this. No one gets everything right 100% of the time. So you're definitely not going to. So yeah, just be kind and relax a bit and everything will work out.
Mate, definitely. I love that. Mate, can you tell the audience a little bit more about Raising Phoenix and what you have going on there?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, as I said at the start, you know, I've battled mental health for, you know, 10, 15 years, and it's always sort of been there. And Rising Phoenix is sort of, it's been an idea or a concept in my head. Like I've always loved the message of the Phoenix and what it stands for. I've got a sleeve tattoo on my arm, which is a Phoenix. So, you know, it's something that's important to me. And it always it somehow manages to pull me out of slumps where it probably shouldn't. And again, once I came off my medication and started to see things a bit clearer, I understood that physically in the Central West, there's not a lot of help, and especially for men. You know, there's probably a handful of psychologists, and I mean, at the moment, especially with lockdown and stuff, some of them are booked out for 6 to 12 months, which, I mean, they're doing what they can, but it doesn't help anyone. And all you've got to do is look online and on your social media. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of, you know, support pages and things like the Fit Dad Lifestyle and that sort of thing that are building communities for men to, I guess, feel safe and be heard. And so at the end of the day, I just wanted to be a part of it. And I kind of, it was like an epiphany. I realized that that was what I had to do. Like, that's what Rising Phoenix needed to be. And yeah, so it just sort of, I started it one day, you know, slowly building the Facebook page and the Instagram and just being another place for men to feel that they're not alone. You know, mental health and depression and anxiety is a tough gig. You know, you don't wish it on anyone, but the hardest part of it is feeling like no one cares or no one wants to listen, or you've got to battle it by yourself. So basically, if it can be, you know, one more avenue for men to reach out and go, hey, look, I'm not doing well. You know, if I help one person, then that makes it all worth it.
Mate, I commend you. It's definitely a tough ask, and especially when, you know, it's an unpaid service and it's something that you're doing, you know, through the labor of love and through your own experiences to actually get out there and, you know, help other people try and, you know, battle, you know, their own demons and, you know, really help them through, you know, the other side and show that, you know, that someone who has been through it and still continues to go through it can, you know, provide such a, you know, positive message and, you know, service out there for the community. So, mate, well done on taking that. It's, yeah, mate, it's great to see other, you know, brands and other, you know, services, you know, popping up, because, you know, it is still a very touchy subject, as much as I think, you know, people are starting to accept it and speak about it a lot more, which is great. It's still, you know, for a lot of people out there, you know, they'll sit there in silence for years until, you know.
Exactly. And there's still the stigma around it. And obviously, Rome wasn't built in a day. And so obviously a lot of men, and obviously society sees it that, you know, men are meant to be tough. They don't have emotions. They're not meant to be sad. They're not meant to cry. They're just meant to deal with it and, I guess, man up. But as you said, I think slowly but surely people are starting to see that that's not the case, and that's not what men have to do. You know, if they're feeling sad and they want to cry, by all means, cry. It doesn't make you any less of a man or a human or anything like that. And it's just slowly, I guess, getting that message out that it doesn't change who you are. More and more people are going through it, so, you know, you're definitely not alone in the battle. But yeah, I think the more people that we can get to understand that, you know, I guess the historic view that men have to be tough doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah, mate, 100%. Mate, where can people find you on Instagram and Facebook? And, mate, what do you have coming up that they might be able to get involved in?
Yeah, sure. So both on Facebook and Insta, it's RSNGPHX, which stands for Rising Phoenix. Look, basically at the moment, it's just the focus of building the community. And getting, I guess, the reach out there and just reaching to as many people as we can. Over time, there'll definitely be things I'll be looking at. So like a merchandise line, I've done a limited run of stubby holders. You know, there'll be shirts, potentially hoodies, you know, all that sort of stuff. But at the moment, it's purely just about giving people a safe space to feel appreciated, to feel heard, and just, you know, voice their struggles and have people listen.
Mate, perfect. Well, I'll make sure I put that in the show notes, mate. And I will, guys, if you're out in the car or running or in the gym right now, make sure you check out the description after this and you'll be able to get in touch with Nick and, you know, go follow his page and Instagram. So, mate, highly appreciate making the time to jump on the podcast today. And, mate, we'll speak to you very soon.
Sweet as, mate. Thank you for having me.
No worries.